This is SB Nation Radio.
The next generation of sports radio.
On this team, we fight for that itch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that itch.
This is the Casey Smith Show.
So let's hear it one more time. Yeah, clear eyes, full heart.
Let's go!
Here's your host, Casey Smith.
Welcome into the show on a Friday that feels like a Monday. It's a weird thing that's going on. Yeah, absolutely. I actually kind of forgot today was Friday when I woke up. And I think it's
Friday.
I think it's because the national championship was on Monday. So it kind of threw us off all week.
Yeah, this whole week's been a little bit of a blur.
Blur is putting this very nicely. Welcome into the Casey Smith Show live on a Friday with SB Nation Radio. Gridiron Now, of course, our added social media bonus. So we're very happy to have you guys. If you are on Twitter, Facebook, or Periscope, because we like cameras, of course.
Always.
So we like to have the added bonus. So thanks for hanging out. And we are going to want to interact with you guys today. My question is how do you like to watch NFL games? And we're going to get to the reason why I'm asking that, because it's a really funny story.
Which you all will love, I'm sure.
But at the end of the show, we're going to get questions, comments. We want to interact with you guys, and our producers are going to send them to us. Carly's great at doing that.
Yeah.
So if you are happening to watch us on social media, send us some interaction. We'd love to hear from you. Joined, as always, by Annie Kuntz.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
This week has been weird, so thanks for making
it in
today.
Wacky week we've got going on.
And this is the first show. This is crazy. This is the first show that we've ever done that college football is not the center focal. How about that?
That's weird.
Isn't that a weird thing to say?
It is
like
sad.
Even Wednesday's show, we just talked about the national championship. We talked about all the fun stuff that went on at the Alabama watch party we enjoyed. Now it's all NFL, which is great.
Yeah,
lots of great matchups this weekend.
Fun time of the year for NFL. But
no college football.
Tier. I need to start my countdown. I still haven't.
You still haven't started it?
I need to start it, though.
We also haven't really started 2017 yet.
Yeah, we're 12, 13 days late.
So thanks for hanging out with us today, guys. We're going to break down the four NFL games this weekend. Actually, really good games,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, some fun ones.
Like last week, the wildcard games, we did it on Friday as well, broke those down. There was kind of some excitement, especially with the Packers-Giants game. That obviously didn't come to fruition. Aaron Rodgers was incredible, but this weekend, really good matchups. Mm-hmm. Even the Texans-Patriots, it's not a good matchup.
It's got some funny storylines.
It's how bad is this going to be? Mm-hmm. Could this be the worst defeat in playoff history? We're going to talk all about that. But before we do, obviously mentioning the NFL, the Rams and the Chargers both announced their head coaches in the same day.
A lot of news coming out of California.
Coming out of Los Angeles. The Chargers moving to LA. The Rams hiring a 30-year-old in Sean McVay. That's insane to me.
I can't even imagine.
I'm a few years away from 30, and I am just baffled that anybody could have that much responsibility. But obviously, somebody who's in charge thinks that's a good move.
Right.
What they had before in Jeff Fisher was not a good move for a long time, but they kept him there.
Yeah.
But at 30 years old.
Yeah, I feel like it's a little bit of a gamble, but it could turn out good. 30, like you said, the amount of responsibility you got on your shoulders is a lot, so we'll see how he handles it.
And you're dealing with guys that are older than you.
Yeah, that's what's so hard. He's getting
respect from them.
Professionals
that are older than you. Mm-hmm. Not only just guys who are older than you, and obviously in college, maybe every once in a while you'll have a grad transfer that's older than a GA or whatever. But this is your head coach, your professional making millions of dollars, and he's younger than you. Mm-hmm. He should still be playing in the NFL at that age. I mean,
it's
you really think about it.
To think that they can make all the right decisions and know what they're talking about at such a young age.
What do you think about the Chargers going to LA?
It's kind of strange. I don't like we've talked about this aside, but when two teams are in the same city, I don't necessarily like it. I think it kind of, I don't know, lacks luster a little bit. But I don't know. I'm not really a big fan of the move.
I think that it's really difficult when you have two professional teams in the same city, no matter what sport it is. Mm-hmm. And you look at New York and all four major sports, they've got two teams within the area. You look at across Chicago, but then you look at somewhere like Boston, mm-hmm. where you have one team that plays each professional sport, and that's why that town is so crazy, right? So obviously the Rams are new to LA, but my thing is, I don't care if teams move that I don't have an emotional connection to or I'm not a fan of.
But if you're their fan.
But if I'm putting myself in the Chargers fans' in their spot right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking as a Dallas Cowboys fan, grew up in Dallas, obviously I've watched the Cowboys my entire life. And they not only decide to move, which would be devastating as a fan base anyways, they move to Houston, where there's already a professional football team. Now, yes, the Rams are just now there, but they're moving in the same state. So if you're a St. Louis fan and they move across the country back to where they were in the beginning of it, mm-hmm. then okay, you're like, yeah, that sucks, but whatever. Now right. they have a situation where they're not only leaving San Diego, they're going to LA, where there's already a brand new team in LA. That would suck.
It would be terrible. I mean, I would be pissed if I was a fan, especially living in the area. It would just be really upsetting. And especially like that scenario right there, the Texans and the Cowboys, knowing the feud that is. I have so many friends that are Texans fans and Cowboys fans, and they just do not get along at all when it comes to football. So if they're in the same city, it would bring a lot of drama to it.
So you bring that up, and it's absolutely true. And I was actually, and the reason I asked, like, I want to know, how do you guys like to watch NFL football games if you're an NFL fan? Because I was on Clay Travis's show this morning very early, 7:30 Central, on Fox Sports Radio. But he actually asked me, he was like, being from Dallas, being a Cowboys fan, knowing a lot of people in Houston, for people that don't understand that anti-city hate, like, how big of a deal is this if the Cowboys do, in fact, make it to the Super Bowl? Obviously, they've got to get past Aaron Rodgers this weekend. But let's say, hypothetically, they make it there. And my response is if you're from the state of Texas, and I'm just using my state, and I'm wearing a Texas Forever shirt today because of this. It's Graphic Tee Friday that I remembered. I remembered it was Graphic Tee Friday. But my thing is, you grow up in one of these cities, and if you're an NBA fan, then San Antonio is involved in this too. And you're like bred as a sports fan to hate the other city mm-hmm. just because you're not from there, right?
Right.
So Houston being where the Super Bowl is this year, and obviously the Cowboys being in this situation, having the home field advantage, whatever. I told Clay, I said, look, like, I have fans or friends that are Houston fans that don't even want to be in the same vicinity.
I wouldn't either.
Because think about this. Not only are Cowboys fans already obnoxious, I can fully admit that. Mm-hmm. There's not only a ton of t-shirt fans, a ton of bandwagon fans, whatever. They don't even have to buy a plane ticket.
No.
So even if you don't, you can't afford a game ticket, even if you can't afford a plane ticket, it's 4 hours.
So you can go and get in the environment and enjoy all that surrounds the Super Bowl, but not even have to have a ticket into it.
It's crazy. So when I see like the Chargers fans reacting, like there was a bunch of videos of like people burning stuff and whatever, I'm like, all right, I get it. Because if Cowboys move
you get
to
the
Houston,
burning down.
I mean, I don't get the burning. That's a little bit dramatic. It's a little dramatic. But I mean, just like when LeBron left Cleveland, right? And then came back and it was like, oh, we forgot that we burned all of his shit on it, like on the internet. But I mean, to me, it's like, okay, the anti-city hate is so real in Texas. I don't know if it's
really
like that across
is.
The rest of the country, but I'd assume
I think
it
it's
is.
Definitely amplified here because Texas, I
everything's
mean,
bigger in
everything
Texas.
Is bigger in Texas.
Everything is bigger in Texas. But at the end of the day, both LA teams announcing the head coach in the same day, same city. Now it's kind of weird because obviously they're irrelevant in the conversations about the playoffs, but it was kind of like, let's see who, you know, who can vie for more fans. And then they just need to win. One of these teams just has to start winning. Mm-hmm. And if you're a forever Chargers fan or you're a forever Rams fan, it's different. But now both of these teams in the same city, brand new, back in the same city.
Right.
It's a little bit crazy.
Drama too. A little bit of craziness going on in LA.
So another topic of conversation, and this is why I want to bring this up, that I spoke with Clay Travis this morning about that ended up getting a lot of great interaction on Twitter, speaking of social media, was talking about how I like to watch NFL games. And the reason we're talking about that is he asked me, as a Cowboys fan, how worried about the Packers are you? And, you know, we talked a lot about the actual game itself this weekend and everything that surrounds it. But I said, one of the things that really terrifies me as a Cowboys fan is that not only are the Cowboys scared of the Packers? I think that the Packers are the team right now that if you look across the board, this is the team that I think most people are worried about because of how good Aaron Rodgers is playing.
And I'm a Cowboys fan. I'm nervous.
Absolutely. And we're going to get to that matchup in just a little bit. But I said, I was like, you know, you look at that Hail Mary pass at the end of halftime last week that everybody freaked out about. He's had three of them in his career that you just look and you're like, oh my God, how can this guy do this? And I mentioned, I said, well, I was in my hot tub watching this and I like stood up out of the water and forgot how cold it was. And like, that's the story that I was. And he goes, wait a minute. You were watching
Rewind.
In a hot tub? And I was like, yeah, like I had my little TV.
Clay Travis
like,
is going to let you get away with watching football
no.
in a hot tub.
And I was like, but look, like, I don't know if this makes me awesome or if this makes me a loser, but I sat in my hot tub by myself with some alcohol, watching these NFL games. My dog was
it
wanting
to
get
like
in.
Every guy's dream, honestly,
I'm like, this
Casey.
Is great. And this is honestly like what I really wanted to do. So then the next question was, well, will you do that again this weekend? And I was like, well, it's like 70 degrees now. It's not near as much fun.
Right.
It's not hot enough to get in the pool, but it's not cold enough to enjoy a hot tub.
Yeah,
right?
We have like an awkward weather going on right here in Texas. It's a little bipolar. But yeah, I feel like that right there is the recipe for like every guy's dream girl.
But I just wanted to be alone in my hot tub. That's all I wanted. Like,
that's
I
really you try, but that's just you, Casey. But I feel like guys would not oppose of girls sitting in a hot tub watching some football.
But it opens up the question of where do you actually enjoy it? Because then it's like, do you want, are you the fan that has to be in the stadium that you'll pay however much it takes just to even be in there? And I brought up Cowboys games because, like I said, being, you know, 10 minutes from the new stadium in Arlington, like I've gone to games where there are like loads of people just in the standing room only just to be in the stadium. You can't even see anything. Mm-hmm. You don't even have a seat, but they pay all this money to get in. And we talked about that. And it's true. Like, do you prefer to be there? Even if you're in the nosebleeds, how much money do you pay? Would you rather be at a bar? Would you rather be at your house? Would you rather be at a house party? Would you rather be by yourself? It really depends. And it is an interesting question. How do you like to watch NFL games, especially if your team's not in it?
Yeah.
Because like for Cowboys games, especially like the Cowboys game this weekend, I don't want to be anywhere near where I can't understand it, can't hear it, whatever.
Right.
And the alcohol is cheaper. Going to a game is so expensive. Unless you already have connections, mm-hmm. to me, it's more worth it to sit at home and watch it. Now, the national championship, love to be in a bar if my team's not playing in it. Mm-hmm. So it really kind of depends. But how would you prefer to watch NFL games?
I think it depends on how connected and how attached you are to the team you're watching. I definitely love going to bars with teams. Like I went to, when I was home, I went to the CU bowl game and watched it in a bar, the watch party for the CU game, and was with that environment to see what those fans are like. And obviously for national championship, we went to the Bama watch party. So if I don't have a dog in the fight, I like to go to a bar and get the environment and see what the fans are like. But I think when it's like my team, I'd rather be with like a group of friends that all went there that I can listen to the game. I can hear the commentating. I can know what's going on and not have this hectic environment around me. So I just kind of think it depends on what kind of game. If it's a national championship game, if it's just a regular season game, it kind of depends. But I'd probably prefer to be with my group of friends with some beer and food at the house if it's my team.
And I can wear my pajamas and no one can judge me.
There you go.
But then you've got the people who are like so connected to these teams that they can't watch games with people who are not equally as connected because they lose their minds or get
like
mad
the
or
Bama
get upset.
Girl that shot her sister.
Yes. And like I have a very close guy friend that is very connected to the Cowboys, mm-hmm. always has been. And I'm like, I don't know if I really want to watch the game with him because I love the Cowboys, but if they lose, it's not the end of my world. Like right. my world, I work in sports. I go on, right? But there are those people that you don't want to be around because if
they happen to lose,
like you don't know what's going to happen.
And the people that have so much money, like betting on these games that are like pulling their hair out during the game,
right?
Yeah, it's so many different environments you can watch them in.
So how do you guys like to watch the NFL games or really games in general? Let us know. And also, if you are a Houston Texans fan or from Houston, how scared are you of the Dallas Cowboys coming into town? Because that is on a lot of people's minds.
And I'm curious.
This is the Casey Smith Show live on a Friday with Annie Kuntz, kind of talking about all things NFL right now. Of course, like we mentioned, both LA teams breaking news yesterday, but looking forward, Annie, four big games this weekend. It is divisional weekend. Mm-hmm. USA Today put out a really interesting stat that it's every second round game is a rematch of the regular season that hasn't happened in a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And it is interesting because it's kind of a revenge for the teams that lost. But when you look at all four matchups,
they're all really good matchups.
They're all good matchups except for the Texans Patriots.
Right.
But even that storyline is interesting. And we'll get to that game later. But because Tom Brady wasn't even playing. Mm-hmm. And I remember just the disaster of that game and even Twitter losing its mind because they were playing the third string quarterback. And we didn't even know how bad Brock Osweiler was going to be for the Texans mm-hmm. yet. But all of these games have really big storylines. And of course, the biggest one, in my humble opinion,
shocker,
but one that most people are talking about right now
yeah.
is the Cowboys-Packers game on Sunday, 4:40 Eastern in Arlington, Texas, and on Fox, of course, because mm-hmm. the Cowboys are Fox, right? So you look at when these teams played. And I mentioned that this is like a rematch of the regular season.
Back at those regular season games.
You got week 6, Dallas won 30-16. Ezekiel Elliott.
At Lambeau.
And that was kind of when everybody started really, really paying attention to Dak Prescott because there was a lot of pressure on him going mm-hmm. into that game. Like, can this guy win at Lambeau? He made the quote, you know, hey, I played in SEC stadiums. And it was this whole thing, right? And at that time, Aaron Rodgers was the guy like, what the hell is wrong with him? Is his relationship with Olivia Munn getting in the way? Is his family getting in the way? Whatever. Obviously, a completely different Aaron Rodgers in the last 6 or 7 games. But the key in that game was how good Ezekiel Elliott was. He had 157 rushing yards, and Dez Bryant wasn't even playing. So you look back at week 6, knowing the Packers look a little bit different, but it does show what the Cowboys need to do to be successful against this defense mm-hmm. If they want to have a chance against the Packers in general, because it seems like right now Aaron Rodgers is so on fire mm-hmm. that that's going to be difficult for anybody, not just the Cowboys defense.
No, I agree. I look back at this game. This was definitely the moment for me when Dak Prescott kind of came out and I realized, you know, he can't carry this team. For him to go into Lambeau, it's just such a tough place to play and perform the way he did. He had 3 passing touchdowns. And that, I mean, it was just kind of the rookies that really took over the show in that game. But the thing here too is the Cowboys defense forced 4 turnovers. I don't know if they're going to be able to do that again because this Packers team has completely transformed since that time back in October. So that will be key for me. I think if they can, I don't know if Zeke's going to be able to run against them the way that he did. Back then, they're going to obviously, that's going to be a main focus for them to slow him down if they even can. So it'll be interesting because I think that Packers team has changed so much since then.
When you look at how good the Giants defense has been all year, and obviously mm-hmm. he completely carved them up. Now, Jordy Nelson will not be available for this game. And we've talked about it before. Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson's connection was massive when it comes to this.
But so that hurts them.
What happened against the Giants, and you look at the Cowboys and kind of how they're going to need to prepare for Aaron Rodgers, is he's really, really good inside and outside the pocket. He can extend those plays not like many people can in the NFL, and that's what makes him so dangerous, but you almost want to keep him inside the pocket, put pressure on him. That's what this defense is going to have to do. He hasn't thrown an interception in 7 games. Mm-hmm. He's been really, really good. I mean, almost perfect. He's got kind of that swagger of like, look, he's a 2-time MVP, makes a very good case he should be the MVP this year.
Very much.
But when you look at outside of Aaron Rodgers right now, yeah, there are some weapons. They've got a depleted secondary. It seems like to me with the Packers, it's Aaron Rodgers versus the Dallas
he's
Cowboys.
Carrying that team. He's carrying that team right now.
And that's why you look at this game. And for me, completely taking outside of the Cowboys fandom that I have, and I've grown up in Dallas, that I am nervous because you have arguably one of the best quarterbacks ever.
Right.
You know, you can make that. You talk about Tom Brady being the GOAT, but Aaron Rodgers is making a hell of a case too. The coming in late, the way they've played, you know, he said after Thanksgiving, he was like, teams that play after Thanksgiving are the ones you need to pay attention to. But then on the other side, Annie, you've got Dak Prescott. And if he does win a Super Bowl, which I know that's way ahead of ourselves, but you're looking at maybe the best rookie season of a quarterback in the NFL
ever.
Ever. Mm-hmm. He's a 20th rookie quarterback to start in the playoffs in the Super Bowl era. And Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott are not only Rookie of the Year candidates. That's not even close, right? Mm-hmm. They're MVP candidates, depending on what they can do. And you look at Aaron Rodgers, you know what he brings to the table. But on the other side, with the Cowboys offense versus this Packers defense, they're going to do everything they can to load the box and stop Ezekiel Elliott. And that's going to take pressure off of Dak Prescott because he's going to have Dez Bryant. He's going to have these other weapons. Mm-hmm. And if they can utilize both ways to get the ball downfield and really control that tempo with this offensive line they have and keep Aaron Rodgers on the sidelines, the Cowboys have not only a legitimate chance, I think they will win this game if they can control it and just keep Aaron Rodgers on the sidelines as long as possible and have both the ground and the air game going.
Right. No, the Packers defense has improved. I will say in the last 4 games, they've given up less than 100 rushing yards on average. But I do think their secondary might struggle a little bit. But here's my thing though. Aaron Rodgers, like you said, he has carried this team right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, he has been unbelievable. And if he shows up and his plays the way that he is, which I think he's going to, it's going to be a really, really good matchup. Over his last 8 games, they've won 7 straight. He's not thrown 1 interception. He racked up 22 touchdowns. And in 5 of those games, he's thrown for over 300 yards. So he's peaking at the right time for sure for this team. But I think that's kind of the storyline. Is this going to be Aaron Rodgers' team? It's Aaron Rodgers against the Dallas Cowboys. And if he shows up and plays, it provides a good matchup, but we'll see.
And if you look back at week 6 when the Cowboys did beat them by 14 points, you know, Aaron Rodgers still had like almost 300 yards, 294 yards total, right? Mm-hmm. 1 touchdown and 1 interception. But this is a completely different team than we saw, and there's no secret. And that's why so many people are talking about this matchup, because how hot is Aaron Rodgers right now? I mean, incredibly.
Well, that's why a lot of people are going with the Packers in this matchup because of how hot he is. But it's the whole package for me. So,
and then you look at though the home field advantage, and that's obviously a big deal. And you look at Dallas and Arlington and all that comes around that. You know, that is a big deal in professional sports. It's not as big of a deal as it is in college, in my opinion. But there's so many things that go into this. I just think it's going to be close. But I think that the Cowboys are going to take that next step and really solidify off of the rest, getting this defensive line healthy, having these byes, and not having 2 rookies playing in their first playoff game. Yeah, they're rookies, but they haven't played like rookies. Mm-hmm. And you've heard both of them say, hey, look, we played in games like this. Ezekiel Elliott won a national championship in Cowboys Stadium when he played for Ohio State. Mm-hmm. This isn't a new environment. but they've never played somebody like Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. And that's why, as long as this Cowboys offense can control the ball, control the tempo, stay on the field as long as possible, then that gives them the best shot to beat the Packers.
Yeah, I agree. As long as this offense shows up and uses the weapons that they have, because they do have so many, they're going to be successful in this game. I think that their secondary might struggle a little bit against Rodgers for sure, but that presents a good matchup as well. But at the end of the day, I mean, Rodgers and this team are going to put up a lot of points. So are the Cowboys. And I'm tempted. It's tough with this one. I went back and forth a little bit to pick which side. But I love the Cowboys this year. I've jumped on that train. And I think overall, as a unit, I think they might go on to carry and win this one.
What do you guys think? If you are watching on social media, we'd love to hear from you. If you're listening to us, go on social media and weigh in. What do you think about the Packers-Cowboys game? We'll get to those at the end of the show. Obviously, whoever wins that game will go on to face the winner of the Seahawks-Falcons game, mm-hmm. which is Saturday at 4:35 Eastern on Fox in Atlanta. Falcons get home field advantage. The Seahawks are coming off of a pretty impressive win. I mean, then again, the Lions, okay. Yeah. You know, when we knew that might be, depending on who showed up at quarterback, right? I mean, that was kind of what we were looking at for the Lions. But they did also play in week 6, October 16th. The Seahawks won. There was a very controversial non-pass interference call with Julio Jones. Mm-hmm. And now there's kind of been some drama back and forth with Julio Jones and Richard Sherman and talking in the media.
Always love when that happens.
Oh, yeah.
Which is more drama.
It adds more drama, right? But this game is interesting, too, because obviously Seattle, the defense has been different without Earl Thomas. And we've talked about that ad nauseum as well. It just affects everything. And you look at how it's affected Richard Sherman as well. I mean, he's one of the best in the game, right? But without Earl Thomas, it's been a big deal. Mm-hmm. And this Atlanta team is so complete on both sides of the ball. It's a very interesting matchup. And it's kind of hard for me to really say for sure who I think is going to win. But Seattle's just been so atrocious on the road, Annie. And that's really what I'm looking at, that their defense is not what it was. It's still dominant, but it's not what it was earlier in the season. And offensively, they're just not near as good on the road.
No, I completely agree. I mean, last week we were looking at them being at home, and that's such a huge advantage for this team. So being on the road,
the 12th man. We talked all about that.
We love that 12th man. But being on the road is definitely a challenge for them. But like you said, without Earl Thomas, I mean, they definitely struggle. Seattle with Thomas has had 7 touchdowns, 10 picks, and their pass 77.8 passer rating, sorry. And then without Thomas, 9 touchdowns, 1 interception, and 99.5 passer rating. So right there alone, those statistics show that they really struggle without him. That kind of tells me that it's going to be really tough for them to stop this Falcons offense that is so, so lethal.
And if you look at their 4 losses and their 1 tie, which is obviously on the road. I mean, this is what we're talking about. They've scored 3, 6, 25, and 10. And Russell Wilson's not been the same, just like you said. I mean, this is one of those storylines. You really do look at that. Now, this is the playoffs. It's always completely different. I understand that.
Wipe clean kind of type thing.
But when you look at the actual matchup itself, is that Seattle's offensive line has just not been great this year. They've really not. They've had a lot of times where they've had so much pressure on Russell Wilson. He's been pressured 41.6% of the time, which is insane to look at this offensive line and what they've done. And on the flip side with the Falcons, you've got Vic Beasley. And everybody's talking about Vic Beasley and how important he is. They just don't have an answer for him, I don't think. Mm-hmm. And yes, Seattle's defense is very dominant. But what the Falcons bring defensively is really important, because if you can put a lot of pressure on Russell Wilson, they don't have a great ground game. They have obviously weapons. They're in the playoffs. There's no question they're talented. But is this team to the caliber of Atlanta? I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Yes, Michael Bennett is really good, and he's key to this, and he's capable of doing some things, but I just think the Falcons are too complete with their rest. It's huge for them, and I just don't think the Seahawks can stop them.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the Falcons are a lot more of a balanced team than Seattle, and I just look at Matt Ryan and how incredible he's been all year. He's MVP caliber, but I will say that he has 1-4 career in playoffs, so playoffs have been a struggle.
He's the up-and-down guy, right? Like, you hear Matt Ryan, and sometimes you're like, oh, he's been great, and then you hear his name, and you're like, oh, he sucks. Like,
but do you know who his playoff win was against?
The Seahawks.
Yeah. So right there alone, I mean, he's performed well against them, but he's been so well all year, and obviously the franchise has struggled in postseason, so we'll see how they handle, but I just think across the board they're a more balanced team that can spread the ball really effectively offensively, so I tend to go with the Falcons on this one.
So Thomas Rawls obviously had a good game last weekend, and Atlanta's defense is not great against the run. I mean, they're 29th, which opens up this opportunity, and so when you say that they don't have a great ground game, the Seahawks, they can. They absolutely can, but it depends on what offensive line shows up, and they've not been great. But I do think you're right. I think when you look at Matt Ryan and what this offense has done, the key for them is they've been really explosive all year, and they've been really good, and they only have 11 turnovers. Mm-hmm. And I think that's key. Like, not only are they really explosive and they're good at getting the ball downfield and they have all these weapons and they're able to put points on the board, they're also not turning the ball over. Mm-hmm. And when you have that offense against a defense that is depleted without Earl Thomas, that is difficult. Now, Stephen Terrell has not played horribly, but it's just not the same. And you see that in coverage against Richard Sherman. And that's why I think the Falcons are going to really take advantage of that with a quarterback who, yes, he's been up and down in his career, mm-hmm. but right now he's having a really good season, and he is MVP caliber if you take out guys like Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, right, who are in the greatest of all time conversations. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I agree. But his numbers are absolutely incredible this year. Another storyline, too, is Julio Jones, who he had like 179 yards against them last year, or not last year, earlier this season. And he had that injury. He's yet to do to top 100 yards in a game. So he'll be kind of someone to look out for to see if he comes back to his normal stature. But I don't know. I think the Falcons are going to take this one.
And Julio Jones, like we mentioned when we first started talking about this game, like, the drama is already great. I mean, he and Richard Sherman, again, you look back at week 6 and it was absolutely help from the ref. That was absolutely pass interference. Mm-hmm. There's no question. The game was so close. So anytime you've got that feud,
controversial.
And, you know, there was talk about him going to the refs and talking to him about it. And he was like, look, I'm just here to play football. You know, I don't want to talk about this, but you know, there's underlying issues.
Always.
And Richard Sherman is always that guy that when you know he's involved in this kind of stuff, you're like, oh, this is going to be good, because mm-hmm. you don't know what emotion is going to come. He's one of the smartest guys in the NFL. He really is. Yeah. And you look at that and you're like, this guy knows what he's doing. But without Earl Thomas on the field, it has been tougher on him. But the drama always just makes it better.
It has been. And I love the drama. You know that.
We love the drama. This is the Casey Smith Show live on SB Nation Radio every week nationally on Mondays from 7 to 9 Central, 8 to 10 Eastern. Then, of course, gridironnow.com and the added bonus of social media. So if you're joining us on Facebook, Twitter, or Periscope, we love to have you guys. Any questions you want, if it's NFL related, college football related, if it's dating related, because we've done some of those recently.
We answer those questions.
Whatever too. It is, we would love to talk to you guys. So weigh in. Our producer, Carly, will be getting us those later on in the show. My question earlier was, where do you like to watch NFL games? Because we had a debate on that on Clay Travis's show earlier today.
In hot tubs.
I do like to watch them in hot tubs. But, and that was totally on accident, but whatever. I didn't mean to share that information and for it to be what it was, but it was great.
You do have a great backyard.
And then also, if you are in Houston or Dallas and you like one of those teams, another reason I'm wearing my Texas Forever shirt today is, if the Cowboys do in fact make it, there's a lot in between now and the Super Bowl, but if you are a Houston Texans fan and you live in Houston, or you live in Houston and just hate the Cowboys, how do you feel about the Super Bowl being there? And how much do you hate the Cowboys? Because I've had this conversation.
I feel like a lot of people are just going to leave town that are big Texans fans. Get out. Go to California for a weekend.
Just go, right? Just leave. Again, 4-hour drive is a hell of a lot different than having to buy a plane ticket. And these Cowboys fans, when I went right after Christmas, even just like the shirts that were being made, like, and look, Cowboys fans are always nuts. And growing up in that area, I've always seen that. But like, this is a different vibe this year than it's been in so long. Mm-hmm. And so you're like, these are annoying people. And I happen to be one of them. I'm okay with that.
Embrace it.
So yeah, we'd love to hear from you guys. Weigh in, and we'll get to those at the end of the show. Speaking of producer Carly, she gave us a great note earlier. The Steelers-Chiefs game will be moved.
Oh, it will, because it was on schedule before the show when I checked.
Yeah, so 8:20 Eastern, right?
Gotcha. Yeah, there's an ice storm approaching.
Oh, good. So expected weather. So that game will be changed. It's NBC. It's in Kansas City, and right now the Midwest is getting slammed with snow and ice and all of
that. Lots of fun stuff.
I mean, like I said, in Texas, it's 70 degrees right now. It was 20 degrees last
week. High 70s, too. Not even low.
It's hot. Yeah. It is so hot. But that game will be moved due to weather. You look at the Steelers last week, game against the Dolphins, wasn't even close, obviously. And we kind of expected that. They had the home field advantage. And again, you look at all these games. These are rematches from the regular season. So in week 4, Pittsburgh got the win 43-14. It was 36-0 at one point. But this is another example of how in the NFL you've got these up and down games, and you can really point at any NFL team right now and say, okay, this is why you can't always put stock in every single game, mm-hmm. because they have had this up and down. But at the end of the day, Annie, for me, is Kansas City just has the better roster. They're more balanced. Yes, you look back at that game and you kind of roll your eyes, mm-hmm. but if I'm going to kind of compare it to something, it's, to me, sometimes it's looking at teams early in the season and what they're like at the end of the season. And right now, I just think Kansas City is the better team.
Do you?
I
disagree.
I do. And look, I'm not taking anything away from Pittsburgh, because you look at Le'Veon Bell and you look at Antonio Brown, and obviously you've got Big Ben and the experience that he has. And mm-hmm. I think he's one of the most, and you say underrated, because obviously everybody knows how good he is, right? Mm-hmm. But people don't talk about him near as much as you hear names like Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and whatever. And he's got that experience. I get that. But Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown are 51, almost 52% of the team scrimmage yards. They are the offense.
Yeah.
And if you can find ways to stop that, and yes, they're hot. Absolutely. I just saw that.
I saw that too. I was like,
they are very hot right now. But if you look at the way their schedule has laid out, they have not been playing the highest caliber teams in this hot stretch. Yes, they're good. Do not get me wrong. But Alex Smith in the playoffs, he's got 11 touchdowns, one interception. Here's the key for me. And obviously, anytime streaks can be broken, stats can be broken. But Andy Reid is 19-2 after a bye, 3-0 in the playoffs.
I know, he's really good after byes.
And that stat right there, it's just how you approach these games. They're rested, and Alex Smith has been playing very well. He gets rid of the ball so quickly, and then you've got guys like Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. They're game-changing guys, and this game's going to be close. I think this game's going to be really close. I just tend to lead toward the Chiefs because I do think that they just have a more complete and better roster across the board.
I disagree. I think this is the first one we disagreed on, but I don't know. I'm going with the Steelers on this one. I mean, you look at that regular season game, and obviously it was a long time ago. Teams change. Injuries happen. The weather's different. There's a lot of different factors that come into play at this time of the year. But you look at that game, and Ben dropped 5 touchdown passes. It was the highest.
He's so good.
It was the highest of the season. He performed incredibly well against that game. They haven't lost since that thriller to the Cowboys before Thanksgiving. And I don't know. You say that the Chiefs are imbalanced, but I tend to think that the Steelers might be because their offense is so explosive. And their defense is leading the NFL with 30 sacks since week 11. So I don't know. I think that the Steelers might be the more balanced team on this side.
And we talk about Tyreek Hill, and we're not going to get off on this soapbox right now because we've done that all season. But you look at kind of, you know, the domestic abuse situation, and I don't even think this guy should be on a roster. Mm-hmm. We're not going to get into that. But when you look at, you take that out of it, which is really difficult for me, and I know it is difficult for you and for most people, but let's take that out of it. He is a game-changing player, and it changes how you defend this team. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's key in this, but you can't, it's really hard to bet against Big Ben.
Travis Kelce, who's incredible as well.
Yeah, he's incredible. And so you look at what this game means for both sides of this, that it is, it's another game, and that's why this weekend is so much fun, because you can make arguments. It is difficult to bet against the Steelers. The Chiefs, with the home field advantage, obviously, you've got Pittsburgh coming in very hot, but I mean, have they been hot against teams that are really, really that caliber? Then you look at Kansas City, and yeah, their defense has been average at best sometimes.
Yeah, their defense is going to be better this game.
But they have faced some of the most explosive quarterbacks in the NFL through that stretch. They're not facing guys like Connor Cook or Brock Osweiler, you know, I mean, and they're obviously, there's been spurts in there, but you look at the guys that they've played against.
Right.
So it's hard to be a great defense week in and week out when you're playing some of the best in the league. Mm-hmm. But this game will come down to, can they stop this offense with Pittsburgh? Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, and Big Ben. And if they can, I think they're in trouble, because I think that this Kansas City team on both offense and defense is more complete if you can take away the real big game changers and playmakers for the Steelers offense.
Yeah, I think that point, and then I think, yeah, clearly their defense is going to have to step it up in this game, especially compared to the defense that showed up earlier in the season against Pittsburgh. I will say that their overall defensive numbers aren't that great, but they do force a lot of fumbles, and they do capitalize on mistakes. So we'll see, but I do think that it's going to be a threat with Alex Smith and that duo with Travis Kelce and Hill. So we'll see if the Pittsburgh can stop that. But I think if Kansas City's defense shows up, then it could be a different story, but I think it's gonna be a really close one.
At the end of the day, Andy Reid and his numbers, and I know, like, he's not playing right, but that is what everybody's pointing to. He's just so good after buys, and that is key right now, right? It's so late in the season,
more time to prep
and rest. 3-0 in playoffs after a bye, that's big time. And it's not like he's having to carry this team and be the, you know, in the NFL, right? It's not like a coach just completely changes the game. These guys are interchangeable. It's not like college football.
Right.
College football, a coach completely changes the dynamic. But when you've got Alex Smith and Andy Reid and everything else this team has to offer, I can't bet against them. It's difficult for me. This was one of the ones I sat down like, of the four, this one was the hardest for me to pick. And this is obviously the one that you and I are disagreeing on.
I know. But did you know that the Steelers are the only team to score at least 24 points in each of their last 9 games?
They're
Did
hot.
You know that?
They're hot right now.
They're hot, and that's why I think, I feel like this game's
They're not be, Aaron Rodgers hot, but they're
right,
hot.
But they're hot. But I feel like this game might come down to like a shootout type scenario game, and I just don't know if the Chiefs will be able to hang.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see who's right.
We'll see. We'll probably make a bet. Like we always tell ourselves we're never going to make an alcohol bet because we learned our lesson. And guess what? We always make alcohol
bets.
We
have a short-term memory loss when it comes to betting.
2016 still not over for us, I don't think. I haven't gone to the new year. All right, guys. Looking at the NFL games this weekend, obviously four games, three great games, one game that's great for entertainment. We're going to get to that one in just a second. But thanks for hanging out with us on the Casey Smith Show. If you're listening to us on iTunes, if you're watching us on Gridiron Now or any of the social media ways you can, there's so many different ways these days. Or if you're listening to us with SB Nation, we really appreciate you guys. Weigh in.
Always.
What questions you guys
got?
What do y'all want to know? And also, how do you enjoy watching games, NFL games? And I know I've talked about this already, but the backstory is
coffee bets.
Make coffee bets. Every once in a while, we can catch the comments that come up because we are a radio show first. We try to do the radio show format, but you know, we're also ADD sometimes. Well, yeah. We're not, so we can catch it. But
you're crazy on caffeine.
How do you like to watch it? And if you live in a state, let's say California, if you live in California, how do you feel about having two teams in the same city? Mm-hmm. And of course, if you're in Texas, how worried are you if you are not a Dallas Cowboys fan and you live in Houston? We want to hear all about it. So let us know. Joined as always by Annie Kuntz. So Annie, the next game, like I mentioned, the first three games we've broken down, great games on paper, lots of anticipation and drama. And then there's a Texans Patriots game.
Dot, dot, dot. I'm taking Texans.
No, you're not. I'm kidding. Get out. Get out. You're kicked out. And you're never allowed back on air with me again. So it's Saturday at 8:15 Eastern on CBS in Foxborough. The Texans beat the Raiders. But even last week when we broke down these games, it was like, oh my God, this game is awful. The quarterback situation is terrible. You look at another rematch of the regular season in week three. The Patriots just absolutely destroyed the Texans, embarrassed them, shut them out, 27-0. And by the way, it was without Tom Brady. And yes, J.J. Watt wasn't fully healthy. And
that
yeah, whatever.
Doesn't mean anything.
This game, like, I don't necessarily know how bad it's going to be, but I don't think the Texans have a chance. And that's why I bring up the Super Bowl. We've been talking about Dallas maybe making it to the Super Bowl. The Texans are still in it. And there's nobody that's like, oh, well, what if the Texans and the Cowboys meet?
There's no way.
No chance. And it's going to start here. And they're going to not only be exposed more than they already have, I think they're going to be embarrassed, Annie.
No, this is the biggest spread in 20 years for a playoff game, if that lets you know anything. And it is for good reason. I mean, this game, you look at that regular season game, 27-0, when Brady didn't even take a snap and they have their third string quarterback in.
Jacoby Brissett.
I mean, it's comical at this point to even talk about this game because I just think it's hands down going to be the Patriots. I mean, the Texans have a solid defense. They can't put up points to save their lives. So I have to go with Brady and those Patriots.
In the production meeting, I wrote, like, you know, I always write down notes and stats that I want, and I just wrote Tom period Brady. Like, that's all you need to know. Like, the only way to stop this team at all is to keep him on the sideline, and that's impossible. And yes, mm-hmm. The Texans defense has looked good. They looked good against the .. Raiders without their MVP quarterback
Brady,
and Derek Carr.
Don't.
Jadeveon Clowney actually played. I mean, you know, he was a number one overall pick a couple years ago, and people are waiting for him to really have that moment. He's looked good. The Texans offense with Brock Osweiler did just enough to beat the Raiders.
It's not like they're even going up against like an average quarterback. Like, he's bad.
He's bad.
He's bad.
He's one of the worst. Yeah, and here's the key. They're starting Brock Osweiler. Tom Savage is available that we know of.
They're starting
Brock Osweiler. Yes, he was mistake-free in his first time starting after being benched, whatever. Like, that tells me all I need to know because the Patriots don't know Tom. Nobody knows what Tom Savage really looks mm-hmm. like. What we have seen of him, he was better than Brock Osweiler. So why are you starting Brock Osweiler against
doesn't make sense to me. If anything, I would go with Savage for sure.
The Patriots defense has been up and down. They've looked better than they probably are because of teams that they've played. You know, obviously there's been some very questionable defensive moves by Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
He's Bill Belichick. He's like the idea of Nick Saban to me. Like, if he makes a decision, it's probably the right one. Mm-hmm. But this game, like, there's no even reason to break this game down because this is the Patriots game. You look at everything that you look at their ground game with LeGarrette Blount, like, there's just no way.
Hands down across the board. I just don't think it's even going to be close.
Like, do you think that they are even going to be able to cover? Like, do you think...
Ronnie, our producer, we were talking about that earlier.
Ron,
he thinks they will. I don't think they will.
Producer Ron.
I still haven't changed
his Twitter handle yet.
No, yeah. I
said I could see a world where they do.
I don't think they're even going to cover. I really don't.
I think it's going to be a disaster.
Yeah.
And I don't know, and I should look this up. I don't know what the biggest loss in playoff history is. I have no idea.
You should look that up because it's about to get broken.
Now, the Super Bowl era, obviously. Right. Like, you know, back way, and like, you can't take that in consideration. Right. But this could be really bad.
Right.
And I don't even think it's ever going to be close.
The good news is it's like at 8 p.m. Eastern. So if you can go out and you won't miss much.
You can watch this one at a bar, but do not take shots every time the Patriots score, because I don't think it's. And again, the Texans defense is not slouch. You know, they're no slouches. Obviously, they've got J.J. Watt and they've got all of this. But this team is just too good. And at the end of the day, if I'm still making my Super Bowl predictions, not only do I want this matchup, I really want it to be Dallas Patriots.
I do too.
And the Cowboys Patriots is going to be incredible. The Cowboys have a much harder path there right now. If you look at this game and then what comes up next for the Patriots, it's looking pretty good for those fans really up in New England.
It is. We'll see who ends up on the other side of it.
Well, if you're in Houston, don't get too. And that was the thing, like last week, right? We were talking about the Raiders Texans game. We're like, yeah, hooray! You might beat the Raiders, or you might beat the Texans.
But either way, it's the end of the road.
Congratulations for getting that win. It's still better than no wins. Don't there get me wrong. Go. It's still better than
you're
no wins. But of the four games, that one is the most entertaining for the negative reasons.
Right.
So that was the NFL weekend breakdown. Of course, we only disagreed on one game, the Steelers Chiefs game. But all four of these games
were
a lot of fun.
We were right on all of them last week.
I know.
We were on point.
That's just because the wild card games were a little bit easier to pick, I think.
Slightly.
Like the Giants-Packers game was the most difficult one, but it was still pretty easy because of how good Aaron Rodgers has been. And when you look back at that game, you're like, okay, it wasn't even close. But this weekend, they're a little bit harder to pick outside of
they
the Texans-Patriots.
For sure. Yeah, I went back and forth on a few of them.
Poor Texans fans. Poor
Sorry,
Texans
Houston.
Fans. This is the Casey Smith Show wrapping up on a Friday. We want to hear from you guys. So if you have been weighing in on our social media side, we're going to get to those in just a little bit. How do you like to watch NFL games? Who's your favorite pick? I mean, whatever you guys want to know. We'll talk college football with you. We'll talk dating. We'll talk whatever you want.
Whatever. We could go a lot of weird ways.
It could. So this is our first show without talking any college football, of course, because that's been our main focus of the show with SB Nation Radio. But we're going to get to one of my favorite things to talk about before we get to those questions. And I love UFC. We've talked about Ronda Rousey. We've talked about Conor McGregor. We've talked about all of this. You look at the drama surrounding Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor, and if they're going to fight and if they're not.
I want it to happen so bad.
And it's been in conversation for a long time. Like, we've been talking about this a long time. Now it's going to, is this really in talks? Because now you've got Mayweather and you have Dana White today talking to two completely competing networks.
Throwing out
completely
some numbers.
Different. So Floyd Mayweather was on First Take. And he came out and he spoke. He was actually really good. A lot of times you don't see Floyd Mayweather sounding great in the media. Because he didn't have to, right? But he said, he was like, I want a guaranteed $100 million, and then we'll guarantee Conor McGregor $15 million. And he, you know, definitely made a smart-ass comment. He was like, he's never made that in a bout before. So, you
know.
He has to throw that in. But that's what he wants. So then he kind of made all these side-handed comments about the UFC and, you know, if it's actually going to happen. So then Dana White doesn't go to ESPN, of course. He goes to Fox and Fox Sports 1 and is on The Herd this afternoon and says, okay, well, and like Colin Cowherd really pumped it up like he was mad, right? That Dana White was mad. Like, he got on his private jet and flew from Vegas and like he wants to shut Floyd down. But his offer, his counter offer, was $25 million guaranteed to both. And then they'll talk pay-per-view money, which in reality, when you look at how much money Floyd Mayweather has, I mean, this is his world, right? Boxing is his world.
100 mil.
He can justify that with how much money he's made, but it is a little bit different of a fight. And I think that the ratings of this and how much money will be spent, $25 million guaranteed is not going to entice Floyd Mayweather. But if they can make a deal outside of that with the pay-per-view dollars, it could be pretty interesting. But here's the thing, Annie. No matter what, and we know it's not going to, like, is it boxing? Is it UFC? Is it MMA in the middle? Like, what, you know, what is it? Because MMA and
boxing
are completely
different. That's the thing. What are they going to, what's it going to come down to? It's got to be some type of mixture.
And we've been talking about that forever. And I have my own opinions. I think they should meet in the middle and do sort of a hybrid.
That's the only way it'd be fair.
It's the only way it'll be fair because on either side, like, if it's MMA, McGregor. If it's boxing, it's Mayweather.
It's got to be a hybrid.
But now they're actually talking numbers. And that's why this is a storyline. That's why everybody's talking about it in the national media. Because for so long, it's kind of been rumors and like TMZ videos and kind of shade back and forth. And now there's actual numbers being thrown out. So it's gone from like a pipe dream to maybe like an actual
glimmer
thing.
Of hope.
A glimmer of hope that this might happen and how incredible that would be.
I would be so excited. And I have to, I would be so tempted to go with Conor McGregor on this one too. No matter what, however they mix the two and make it a hybrid. Or whatever. I tend to go with Connor just because he's so crazy and intense, and he's obviously got the age going for him compared to Mayweather. So I don't
Mayweather's like 40, right?
He's almost 40. About to be 40, right? Yeah. So I really am praying this happens. I can't even imagine the numbers that would be on the for the ratings. But yeah, the fact that they're talking numbers and stuff gives me a little bit of hope that it might happen.
Well, and you look at the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, and a lot of people were so pissed about that fight because it was so hyped and the money that went in. I was at a bar in Houston that they forgot to order it until like right before, mm-hmm. and they couldn't get through because so many people were buying pay-per-view, and they actually had to delay the start of the fight because of how many people were buying it. And then it was boring, right? I mean, it was a defensive bout. It was just not fun to watch, but people that are saying, oh, you've never paid for a Mayweather fight. I've had people say that. Well, like, you've obviously never paid for a Mayweather fight. I'm like, well, no, I have. And I'm going to continue to, especially if he's going to fight Conor McGregor, because we don't know what that's even going to look like. Mm-hmm. And now that money's coming in, I do think that Floyd Mayweather deserves more money than Conor McGregor, at least guaranteed, but not an astronomical difference. And you look at what happened with Ronda Rousey. She was guaranteed all that money and then got her ass beat, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to happen to Floyd Mayweather, but $100 million guaranteed versus $15 million guaranteed to have a hybrid type match, or whether it's boxing, it's not going to be MMA. We know that. Like, there's no way Floyd Mayweather is fighting MMA. No. But that's a crazy difference. And for Dana White to say,
do you have an idea of like how they would bridge the two?
I have no idea what they're actually talking about, but what I would like to see, mm-hmm. and I don't even know if this is possible, but I'd like to see, okay, you've got boxing, right? Where you can't use your legs at all. You can't go down to the ground. Mm-hmm. Then you've got MMA where you can do both. Meet somewhere in the middle where you can't be like kicking and you can't like choke hold and all that stuff with your legs, but you can take them to the ground, mm-hmm. and it becomes almost more of like a wrestling thing, but you can't like Conor McGregor, if he can use his legs, like, let's be honest. Right. So I want to see it meet somewhere in the middle. I just don't know if that's going to happen.
Right. It's hard logistic wise to Floyd figure Mayweather out how it would work.
Is Floyd Mayweather, and he's right. cocky, and he can be, I don't think he should be as cocky as he is sometimes. Sometimes I think he sounds like a complete dick, but yeah, at the same cockiness. Time, but Conor McGregor's that way too.
But it makes for good entertainment.
Can you imagine the lead up to that?
The conference before, are you kidding?
Like the chairs
thrown and
the water bottles, like, and that, you know, Conor McGregor has said he's not going to fight in Vegas because he got fined for throwing the water bottles. He almost threw a chair. You've got so Floyd Mayweather talking about how he's, you know, TMZ Sports always gets him like, oh, he's, you know, an ant to an elephant. Like, why is he even talking about me? I'm like, this is insane. Can we make this happen?
Please make it happen.
So now that these numbers are coming out, it's fantastic.
I love it.
Finishing up the Casey Smith Show on a Friday with Annie Kuntz. We've been asking you guys, if you are enjoying the social media side of things, send us in some questions. I was on Clay Travis's Fox Sports 1 radio show today talking about how I like to watch NFL games. So I asked you guys, how do you like to watch NFL games? How do you prefer? And then random questions as we broke down these NFL matchups. What do you have for me?
I have a lot of comments about how people watch their games.
I love it because there's so many different preferences. And as a sports fan, you have so many different options these days. And I just so chose to watch it in a hot tub. And that was the topic of conversation on the radio show this morning.
Which it should be, especially with Clay Travis.
But I mean, it really is nice. Like, anytime you can watch a sporting event in a body of water, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're with 100 people or you're by yourself. Like, that's awesome.
It's fun, yeah. Okay, so watching NFL games, stadiums are annoying to go to when I can watch it in HD in my living room. Tend to agree with that.
I agree with that.
Houston people on Cowboys, come on down to H-Town, Cowboy fans, and spend money to make our economy even that much better than Dallas. H-Town rocks.
Man. Okay, so you know the beer Dallas Blonde?
No. Like, I'm not a big beer drinker.
Well, there's a beer called Dallas Blonde. Good and it's know. Like, and the, I think this, I don't know if it's still like the slogan on it, because apparently some people got angry in this PC culture, but it was like, they go down easier. Like, mm-hmm. obviously, like the beer being smooth, whatever. But there's even billboards in Houston for Dallas Blonde that like talk bad about Dallas, because that's how much
that's
people in Houston
hate,
and vice versa, right? Like, Dallas sucks, Houston sucks, whatever. And one of my girlfriends who lives in Houston, who's from Ohio, she has like a book that she wanted everybody to sign, right? Like, mm-hmm. when she moved in, and like we helped her move in or whatever. And I went and found out of this like 500 page book of all these cool pictures where it says Dallas sucks. And I was like, I promise it doesn't suck that bad. Like, it's ridiculous, but that's a really good point.
That is. It is a good point.
Economy and
it
money.
Shows how big that feud is.
And it's 4 hours too. So you know that the amount of people that are going to be going, those
and
ticket prices
being
are going to
be out there?
Insane.
It'd be really good for the economy. Another listener said, I live in Houston. If the Cowgirls, good job, make it to the Super Bowl.
I'm from Dallas and I still laugh at that. Like,
you have to. Like, that Dallas, just shows you're not like a super crazy invested.
Dallas is more successful, right? And I'm not trying to talk bad about Houston, but if you look at the sports franchises in these, I mean, Dallas is more successful. But it's so funny that that's just not Houston fans that say cowgirls. Like, that's like a thing,
A thing, yeah.
That's a thing.
My dad did that when whenever I told him I'm like on the Cowboys train this year, he was not happy with me. He did not like the Cowboys whenever he played against them in the NFL. So, yeah.
I welcome you.
Welcome. They said, so if the Cowgirls make it to the Super Bowl, I will pull for the other team, even if it is the Patriots.
I love it. And I think we should spend an entire show leading up to the Super Bowl, because obviously without college football, we have a lot of things to talk about. It's interesting to me because if you do have a Cowboys-Patriots Super Bowl, so many people hate the Cowboys.
They're going to go for the Patriots just for that reason.
But there's a lot of people that hate the Patriots too because of what they are and who do you hate less? Mm-hmm. And I do think, and I've said this, like with Tom Brady and the Roger Goodell catastrophe that was with Deflategate, I like the Patriots because of that, because I think it was so ridiculous. But those are the two teams that people would have a really hard time picking between unless you're a Texans fan in Houston.
I know, and I don't hate either. I mean, I was never a Cowboys fan just because of my dad and him always saying he hated them until this year, really. But I've always been on the Brady fan, so it's tough for me this year to kind of figure out which of the two I'm going to pick.
Like, they got to get past the Packers.
They do, and they've got a tough way ahead of them. But all right, another listener said, watching NFL games, nachos, mixed nuts, a case of beer, and a comforter on the couch with my wife. Surround sound system, great way to enjoy NFL playoffs.
I love it.
Sounds nice.
I love it. And that's the thing. You know, do you spend a lot of money to get into these games? Obviously, we're talking Super Bowl, and if the Cowboys are in it, especially if it's Cowboys Patriots, like the amount of money that's going to pour into this. But if you don't have, you know, and to me, again, I don't want to sit in nosebleed seats. I'm never going to sit in nosebleed seats because that's just not worth it to me. But that kind of watching, like comfortable, with your own food, your own beer, whether it's with your significant other, whether it's with a group of people. That's my favorite way to watch it. Obviously, like I said, I'm okay with watching games alone too, or going to bars, but I have to agree. I think in your house.
When it's your own team too, I'd rather be with my group of friends, eating food, drinking beer, being able to talk and know what's going on and hear the TV and see it up close. I'd rather prefer that for sure.
Who knows what'll happen this weekend though? But yeah, we'll see. Get the two of us together, especially
how are we
going to
watch
Super Bowl?
I'm going to
be at it.
Oh, yeah, you are. I forgot about
that. But this weekend is a little bit different. Like, we have four games to decide what we're going to do.
We'll see. It'll be fun.
Stop Annie and Casey 2017. Thanks for hanging out with us, guys, on a Friday. We'll be back Monday with SB Nation Radio nationally, like we always are. So thank you to them. We'll be back at 3:00 Eastern with a brand new show. Hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, Periscope. We'd love to hear. Twitter is my like bread and butter. I'm really bad at Facebook, but Twitter, go ahead. I'll figure it out either way. Hit us up either one, or if you want to listen to us on iTunes, we appreciate them. And of course, gridironnow.com. Thanks for hanging out. Stay friendly. Have a very safe weekend.
Mm-hmm. Enjoy that
weekend. Football's winding down in a hurry. No more college football. So enjoy it, guys. Go Cowboys. I can officially start doing that now. We'll see you guys next Monday. Thanks so much.